We are on to today's discussion, 10 tax planning to-dos before the end of 2018. Carol Molnar of our office here, one of our favorites in the heading the tax controversy and tax solutions department, has been showing leadership in this area, so we want to thank Carol for her work. So before we discuss this important topic of year-end planning, we want to review the ramifications of the midterm election. As expected, at least leading up to in the past several weeks and even months, the Republicans kept the Senate and the Democrats will now control the House of Representatives. Some have viewed this a giant loss for the Republican Party. Others have viewed this as an opportunity for balance. Still others are saying that they're looking forward to a move in the Senate as well. We have political pundits across all party affiliations. What we can say is that the Democratic House control will likely prevent any additional rounds of tax cuts, although it is unlikely that Congress will have the ability to reverse some of the recent changes and raise taxes. That may not be the case after the next presidential election. We'll get further color as we get closer to the next election. In the meantime, despite these changes, the U.S. monetary policy will stay the same. So even before the midterm election, the Fed indicated that the economy is robust and could withstand another 25 basis point hike in the next month, as well as quarterly in the coming year. The one piece that I want to emphasize is the Treasury is now putting together what we call proposed regulations, and those are designed to help provide a greater interpretation of tax rules. One that has come up that we all need to be sensitive to is the notion that if the tax, or when the estate tax law snaps back at the end of 2025 or sooner, if the Democrats have the fortune to reverse the Trump tax changes, the answer here is that this new regulation is designed to state that if you have given more than the then exemption changes to, you will not be imposed with a tax. So the $11.2 million tax exemption, estate tax and gift tax exemption that is currently in place right now, should you give $11 million of that away, and we've been beating the drum because we are concerned that the exemption will is scheduled to go back to $5.5 million by the end of 2025 to give that away. Well, now we have further wisdom on this because many people have said, well, what happens if I give away 10 and then the tax law changes and only limits the amount to give away to 5? Would a tax be imposed? We have taken a strong view in this office because this is not the first time we've been down this. 2012, we had a similar set of facts, but if you make a gift beyond that $5 million exemption in the next year or two, you can take comfort now with this proposed reg that they will not impose that tax. We've never believed that the IRS could do that, but two things we can take away with this proposed reg: they're saying, number one, have no fear, we're not going to do that, and we believe constitutionally that is correct. But the second thing is, if they're taking the time, dear friends on this call, to tell us that there will be no imposition of a tax retroactively when the tax law snaps back in 2025, they're reminding us that it is imminent that could happen. So please, for many of you, you've been on hold with making gifts in the past, because during the Bush era, you felt that we were going to eliminate the estate tax altogether and the gift tax, so many of you held back as your assets continued to grow in your estate, waiting for that opportunity. Our view has been, and our clients now, each of you, are bearing this out, that when President Trump came in, the most vociferous and outspoken and zealous advocate for reducing estate tax was only able to get us a reduction to 40% and only over $11.5 million and only till 2025. And what each of you and many of others have said is the hope that there is a total elimination of the estate tax is not something in the near future. And if anything, what we have to take seriously is that when Trump is in office, all he's able to do is get it to 2025. We can't predict who will be in office and who will control Congress in 2025 or even sooner. So as a result, we have seen more and more of you say, why would I not take advantage of the high exemption right now if there is so much political wind, including even the tax services, that is saying we are leaving the window open for you now, but don't count on this after 2025, and it may be sooner than 2025 if the Democrats take over both the Senate and the White House in the next election 2 years from now. So please take that as the most important year-end planning. We are the busiest we've been all year long right now in November and December, as many of you are trying to solve for moving assets out of your name, out of the fields and into the castle walls in a protected trust. Number one, freely give. Please, before year end, make your annual exclusion gifts to your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, to dear friends. You can give $15,000 per individual, and you can give $30,000 if you are married per each chosen loved one. Of course, we advocate that you give it to them in trust to protect those assets, not just from your loved ones themselves, but from others going after your loved ones. Please understand that these gifts are non-cumulative, so you cannot give a gift in 2019 to catch up for 2018. Good news, you're able to give a gift in 2019, and so what often comes from the lips of the folks in our office here is the following. Now it's the end of December, or beginning of December. Get your gifts in now for 2018 and solve for it. And then January 1, get your second round of gifts into your children, so you're giving loved ones, grandchildren, so that you're seeing the appreciation over the 12-month period of December through next year. So, in fact, I was on this conversation with my mother yesterday on her own planning, and the thought was, why don't I wait till January? Well, in January, the gift is a whole new opportunity there, and you'll get 12 months of appreciation. So better to give the gift in January, yes, for 2019, but don't miss out on the gifts in 2018, because they're non-cumulative. You can give them the 529 plans, which grow free of income tax. We've always had a view that 529s are valuable if you're in the middle class range, because you can solve for the compounding tax-free and then use it for college and graduate school. However, if you're in a net worth that is beyond that, we believe you should be giving the assets into trust. We believe there is some value when your children and grandchildren are applying to colleges, that the money that's in trust would not be viewed the same when they're applying for any kind of financial assistance as it would be in the 529. The 529 is always included. Secondly, should your grandchildren or children get scholarships, the notion would be that the 529s would continue to be pushed down the field. We think that's okay, but if you give it to your children in trust, they can use this money, if they didn't need it for college or graduate school, to pay for their first home, to assist in their wedding, to start a business. So we still favor, particularly for the more affluent, the notion of giving gifts to children and grandchildren and loved ones into trust. You can also, of course, give to pay tuitions for your children and grandchildren that are already in private or graduate school. Okay, it is important to note that we want to reap our losses before year end. All right, this is an essential notion here, and running a tax practice here, doing sophisticated income tax work for our clients. Of course, we're reaching out to you now and then also separately to remind you to take the losses in your portfolio that you may have experienced in 2018. This is a year where we're already flat on the big board and nearly flat on the composites. So these indices have demonstrated that you may have individual positions that may be down, and it may be neat to take an opportunity here to sell these positions. In the new year, you could repurchase them, take the loss this year, repurchase in the new year. You just have to be careful of the wash rules, which have a minimum amount of time before you can repurchase. But do not miss on the opportunity to take those deductions in the losses in 2018. We're happy to review those with you. Next on the list is number three, mind your health. It is important to note that under the new Tax Act of 2017, we reduced the floor from 10% to 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. That must be exceeded to take the deductions for medical expenses on one's tax return. This is the last year to take advantage of this lower floor. So if possible, you want to try to accelerate any medical transactions or purchases into the 2018 year. So if there are checkups, if there are procedures, and you are in this potential of being above the 7.5% of your adjusted gross income for 2018 alone, get them in this year. Next year it will be worse, and you'll have a higher number to solve for. If you know you're going to get these procedures done, push them into 2018, this year, or have them in 2018. Okay, number four is use the infant opportunities in the tax rate to take advantage of your own children. So you may remember the kiddie tax, and the kiddie tax is this idea that if you have assets in your children's names and there's a certain amount of income that is achieved in your children's names, then you're going to have to pay rates that are more akin to your own income tax rate versus your children. It's always been a great strategy to move assets into the children's names, and then since their income is lower, they would pay a lower rate. The kiddie tax solved for the IRS's struggle with this by saying if you've reached a certain threshold, you will now have to pay the tax at the adult rate. The new rule now says that you'll pay the tax at the trust rate, so what a trust would receive. Why trust rates? Well, it has no connection with you as the adult or your children as the child. It's just that trust tax rates are higher, quicker, sooner, and they accelerate up to the maximum level quicker than you would on your own returns. So the point being here that we want to emphasize that be mindful of the fact that if your children's earned income, such as wages, exceeds $12,000, or if their unearned income exceeds $1,050, that you'll have to file a return for your child. If your child is both working and receiving unearned income, our beautiful duo of combination where the children are working and participating and being productive financially, at least in this instance, and have assets that are growing, thankfully, to their folks or even their own savings, that stay disqualified from filing a return, you have a whole combined formula now which looks at your unearned income and your earned income. So it's the larger of $1,050 on the unearned income or their earned income plus $350. So if there is a combination of unearned and earned, you need to look at their earned income and add $350, or you've got to look at $1,050 of unearned income. It sure seems like the service is penalizing people who are both saving and have investments and earned income and working hard. That is not for us to spend time on this conference to discuss that. The biggest issue for us is just to make sure that you are properly filing for your child's returns as required. Next, number five, give a thought to giving. So the deduction for cash donations to public charities has increased to 60% in 2018. Wahoo! Last year it was 50%. So you're getting a greater percentage that you can deduct against your adjusted gross income. If you make $100,000, for easy math, now you can deduct charitable gifts up to $60,000. Someone that's making $100,000 isn't necessarily deducting making gifts of $60,000, but they could be in a retirement mode or a year that they postpone earnings and they have significant savings. The bigger issue is if you've had a particularly fantastic monetizing event that is treated as income, and this is a classic example for we at the firm to see, where someone has had a several million dollar income in a particular year and wants to show appreciation for that and fund their foundation. The answer here is that foundations are different, but most importantly, if they want to make charitable gifts, we want to look at how much they can make in a particular year. Does it mean that you don't get the deduction any further? No, it means that you have to carry forward that deduction into years going forward. Our view, though, is we want the time value of money. We want the assets to be in our hands versus not getting the tax benefit in the year that we actually make the charitable gift. So just be mindful that this is critical. The other thing to keep in mind, and Carol's favorite quote in this piece, is bunch your charitable deductions. So look at how much you're going to give in a particular year and get them in 1 year based on your income so that you get them all in that given year and you don't find yourselves in a position where you're not qualifying for the charitable gift because you've exceeded the amount in another year. So charitable donations can be combined every other year in order to exceed the new higher standard deduction. So if you, it means that over $12,000 for individuals and $24,000 for married. So we have a limit on how much you can deduct, but we also have a minimum amount of charitable gifts that you have to be able to give in order to qualify for getting the deduction. 24 if you're married, 12 if you're single. So for some, a $24,000 in annual giving is a significant amount. Many of you are solving for multiples of that on an annual gift. But if it is a year that you're lower, you may want to consider doubling up so that you get the deduction in any 1 year, depending on how much you're giving. The other piece to keep in mind is good news. They preserved the ability to take your IRA distributions, which previously, which now are at 70.5, the minimum point once you have to mandatory distribute your IRAs. You can now direct that money to have either all or a portion of your distribution up to $100,000 sent directly to the charity of your choice. And this withdrawal will not be taxable, and the minimum distribution requirement will be met. So distributions must go, however, to public charities. And so this will help to keep your income lower and below the thresholds for possible Medicare surcharges. So particularly in this, and you may want to remind your folks of this, there are Medicare surcharges based on the income. So we've always thought, oh, my goodness, you know, Medicare is picking up my expenses on X, Y, and Z. Au contraire, if you have high income. So, and high income for people, sometimes they haven't been able to avoid. And that's because they have the mandatory distributions from their IRA. So if your folks are listening in and or you're listening and want to help your folks, please keep in mind that you can, in a given year, if there's too much income flowing down and they're still making gifts to charity, and maybe even gifts to your children's schools or your alma maters, or they're solving for the future when your children are applying to colleges, they want to make sure that gifts are being made ahead of time. All of those are neat opportunities for you to take your IRA distributions, reduce your annual income, and maybe avoid the requirement that you have to pay into Medicare because you've kept your income low enough. And you've done some great things. You've got the charities that you and your family want you to support, and you've paid less income tax for the privilege. Okay. Also, making gifts to charities and family foundations, when you do, first of all, consider gifting low basis stock. Stock, as these are publicly traded positions, as opposed to positions that you have in your hedge fund or in your private equity investments, where we're only dealing with basis. You do not get the full tax benefit of the appreciated positions when you're dealing with non-publicly traded matters, and even in real estate, because the IRS says there could be abuse and you may be valuing it higher. When we have positions in Google or Facebook or any other publicly traded company, we know how to market to market. We know what that value is the day that you make the transfer. For private equity and so forth, it could be an artificially high number. We think that this is unfair, because here the IRS is saying, therefore, you only get a deduction based on your basis of what you originally contributed. That's unfair, because if you had done the same with a publicly traded company, you would, in fact, be able to get the appreciated amount. Why can't we do it here? Yes, it's hard to measure, but it shouldn't wipe away the opportunity for you to give company interest and so forth into the foundation. But again, fairness, as we've discussed earlier in today's call, isn't what we're solving for on this call. What we're doing is identifying the issues. So find positions where you have lower basis and you had appreciation. Yes, you've seen a pullback in 2018. However, if you have some positions that you have in your company that have been running up, or positions that you've invested in for years in the past, give away the low basis. Get those into your foundation. Get the net tax benefit of that, because the sale price is the amount of the charitable gift, not the original basis. Okay. Very important to us as we finish up here is remember to make your annual contributions from your foundations at your 5% amounts. We can help you. We're reaching out to all our foundation clients now, where I sit on the board on behalf of the firm, and whether or not we're doing your annual compliance, we want to make sure we have the formulae clear, and that you're making these distributions. The 5% can also be offset by other expenses that your foundations have, but we want to make sure we get that distribution out. And fund the charitable remainder trusts as well when you're using those with concentrated positions. Okay, as we continue on here, full investment vehicles, establish and fund qualified plans. So maximize your 401k distribution, which would be $18,500 and $24,500 for those over 50 years of age. Consider making gifts up to $5,500 either to a traditional IRA or Roth. We're huge fans of it being a Roth IRA because we love the compounding without tax. Yes, we can do some analysis, particularly for those who are more elderly with Roth IRAs, to determine whether or not the conversion makes sense. But again, this is strictly about making that gift of $5,500. Okay, number seven, take a break to reconsider divorce. Those are always extraordinarily painful, and we're sad when these sets of facts come through. But one thing is for sure, the payer of the alimony will no longer get a deduction on his or her return, and the recipient will no longer have to include the alimony on as taxable income. So before you do this, please be speaking with us and other tax professionals to understand the consequences of both the payer of the alimony no longer getting the deduction on his or her return, and the recipient no longer having to pick it up as income. Do not wait to compensate yourself. Number 8. So as owners of S-Corps, you must pay yourself reasonable compensation. I, too, am an owner of an S-Corp, and I've always had great advice to make sure that there is a minimum salary along the way. Why? Because if we were smart, we would just consider these distributions, and we would not have to pay withholdings and other taxes that are required. So it is important, therefore, to make sure you pay yourself a salary before year end. Do not find yourself in a position where you have not done that. Certainly, if we're assisting you in your returns, this is job one, to make sure that distribution comes out. Okay, we're on number 9. Reserve time to review your own withholding. So the 2017 Act lowered the tax rates and changed the tax brackets. Therefore, it's now time to do a checkup. Please, Carol continues to beat the drum on this on behalf of she and Maureen as the two heads of our tax practice reporting and tax strategies. So it is time to do that checkup to see if your current withholding will be sufficient for next year's income. The elimination of personal exemptions and the increase in the standard deduction could affect your withholding. So personal exemptions that we were using and to offset income helps reduce income. But with the elimination of that, now your income, your adjusted income is higher. But you've also received an increase in the standard deduction. We don't know where that puts you, but we can say the following, that you need to be addressing what your withholding will be for 2019 and work with an estimate on what we've seen in 2018. If you don't withhold enough to pay tax along the way, the IRS will come back and say that on a quarterly basis, you have not maximized your withholdings, and so we're going to charge you interest and maybe penalties for that. Get this right and don't pay the IRS any more than we're legally obligated to do. And if we solve for that before year end and adjust our withholding for 2019, we avoid that risk. Okay, last, which is to make distributions of income from your trust account and your estate accounts to lower the account's income tax liability. So estates and trusts are taxed at the highest income tax rate, and the lower threshold of 3.8% Medicare surtax, or that's the Obama surtax, 3.8%. So many of your trusts are set up so that the trusts are not paying the income tax. We did that purposely, and you're picking up the tax, which is a phenomenal tax strategy to help reduce the size of your estate while having the assets in the trust grow. We are not speaking about those trusts. We're talking broadly about trusts that are picking up their own taxes. Normally those come to us when someone has passed away and it's now a funded trust, so there is no living individual that would pay the tax. The trust now has to pay. It is essential, however, to know that when these distributions come out and we get them out of the trust, then we and have you pay at your rates as the distributee better than the tax rates that are being taxed inside the trust. We do want to remind you that this 3.8% Medicare surtax, the Obama surtax, is an additional tax that you have to pay. So think about and to reach us about making distributions from your estate accounts and from your trust accounts for those who are doing an administration for the family members, whether or not we're involved in that, but we can advise you on getting the assets out.